Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. As promised, I'm going to answer the rest of the questions that I was not able to get to last night. Like I said, there were a ton left. I still have quite a few to get to. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dive on in. Shouts to Himalaya for their continued working with us. Check them out. They're spelled just like the mountain range, and they are a great way to find podcasts and all kinds of spoken word type of content. So check them out. And thank you again to those of you who continue to support the show that way. Let's dive on into these questions, though. The first question comes from NU08. Hi, Fred and Pete. Wow, you've been listening a while if you're calling me Fred. That's just crazy. A lot more people know me at this point because of what I do for a living as Anthony. But if you are referring to me as Fred, thank you. That's kind of cool. Anyway, daily listener, thanks. Lots of hypotheticals get tossed around about this summer. Who we'd most like to see in a Lakers uniform, etc. But what do you actually think will happen this summer? Seems like the signs are pointing to us striking out on free agents. Agree. If we totally strike out, why not get Harrison as our Rambis / Matson / Travis Knight hack off the bench? Anthony can be our ridiculed Ennis / Rondo backup point guard. Pete can be our maligned coach. And Harrison's fedora can take Magic and Palenka's job as they are equal levels of incompetent. Two, Lonzo, I do postural therapy for a living, and I've always been concerned that he will never be durable due to the misalignment, medial femur, pigeon-toed, and elevated hip on the leg he keeps injuring. What to speak of his awful diet? Thoughts? What does Dr. Jen think? Thanks again for the great show, guys. P.S. We want more Harrison. We're going to work on that this offseason. We'll try about Harrison. But I can't speak to any of the medical stuff there about Lonzo. The one thing that makes me a little nervous, or made me nervous heading into last season or this season, was that he did a lot of work on his upper body, and I think, you know, I think he was thrown a little off balance in terms of the amount of mass that he was able to gain in his upper body compared to the lack thereof in his lower body. So I think one thing that he has to really focus on this upcoming offseason is balancing that out a little bit. And, you know, hopefully his ankle is able to bear weight so that right when the offseason starts, he can really start working on that. If not, then I think we might still see a bunch of this stuff. As far as hypothetical that the Lakers would employ any version of me, Harrison, and or Pete, would not end well. It'd be funny, though. I think I would. There would be a non-zero chance that I'd actually die on an NBA court just because of how fast those guys are. So I don't want that to happen. And then finally, what do I think is actually going to happen? I think it's weird. I don't have very much. I have a lot more confidence that this front office succeeds in landing like Kawhi Leonard and, you know, or a Kemba Walker or a Jimmy Butler or something like that, than I feel confident in their ability to do anything of value after getting that type of a player. And, you know, what happens if the Lakers walk away with like Kawhi Leonard in the upcoming offseason, it would be a huge win, right? But all that does is it lifts expectations for the team. And if they remain as bad as they are on the margins, it's going to be all the more disappointing when you have LeBron and Kawhi. And, you know, maybe if they still have Ingram and Lonzo, and then if they go out and, you know, like bring back Rondo or something like that, like that's, it just wouldn't end well. And it wouldn't end well in a way that would be even more disappointing because expectations get raised when you acquire a Kawhi Leonard. But, you know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm right in that they're able, I think, to get one of those superstars. I hope I'm wrong about their ability to make the margins work after that. All right, next question comes from Arete32. Can Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, and Kuzma average 40% or higher from three, considering it's their third or fourth season, and they all shot the three really well in college? So, Anthony Brown shot the three really well in college, and basically, it's in the NBA, when you reach that level of basketball, it's all about window of opportunity, and you have to speed up your jumper to a point where a lot of players aren't very comfortable doing that. And I think we're seeing it, like Kyle Kuzma's rhythm on his shot is really inconsistent. And I think that's in effect from not being comfortable shooting as quickly as you have to in the NBA. I've always thought that, like, so Brandon Ingram was a good 3-point shooter in college, but a lot of his threes came like right on the 3-point line, which is a shorter shot in college, and the athleticism was at a point even in the ACC where you could kind of get away with some bad habits. I don't know if he'll ever be a 40% 3-point shooter, but if he can get to like 36, you know, if he's above league average on a decent number of shots attempted from 3-point range a game, then, you know, you can make that work. And then when I'm more worried, and then, you know, Hart, I think, will be a fine shooter. What worries me about Lonzo, what I'm more focused on with Lonzo is his ability to shoot free throws. He is so bad at shooting free throws right now that it legitimately affects other aspects of his game. And if he's ever going to be a league average offensive player, he has to get better at the 3-point line. One thing that I'm really interested to see this upcoming offseason is if he attempts free throws in a more traditional sense. So everybody pays attention to his 3-point shooting form and how he kind of chucks the ball up at the basket. But, you know, from 3-point range, that's not as concerning because it's such a long shot. But when you go to the free throw line and you try to shoot like that, there's just way too many moving parts. And I think it really throws him off. So one thing that I want to see from him this upcoming summer and heading into next year's training camp is, if he's still a Laker, I want to see him shooting more traditionally from the free throw line. I would like to see the ball stay on the right side of his body more. Even like worst case scenario, move it to the center of his body. I don't think he'll ever shoot like, you know, the J.J. Redick, the Klay Thompson type of shot where you can see, you could draw a line basically down the right side of their body between the ball and the foot and the elbow and all that. I don't think Lonzo will ever be able to shoot that way, but can he get the ball to, you know, closer to the middle of his body and make his shot work that way? Otherwise, I would be worried about him as an offensive player moving forward, just because when you're reluctant to get to the free throw line, you aren't going to be aggressive attacking the basket. You're going to pass up on opportunities finishing at the basket. You're going to be reluctant to shoot those mid-range jumpers that you might get fouled on. It has a ripple effect everywhere else on his game that he really needs to figure out. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your guys' questions. All right, Saul the Kid asks, do you think anyone on the Lakers' current roster has earned a better contract for next year? Regardless of the team, whether it's Lakers or elsewhere, is any one of the vets going to get a better contract? Have the two-way players shown enough for a team to give them a real deal? And assuming Luke gets let go, will a better opportunity present itself elsewhere? Or do you think, where do you think he ends up? College WNBA assistant analyst. I'm going to go. So regarding the contracts that Lakers players might earn next year, I think KCP takes a smaller deal for more years. I think he was pretty disappointing this year. Rajon Rondo also takes a smaller deal. I don't think he makes as much money as he made this year anywhere else. Lance Stephenson also makes less money next year. JaVale McGee might take a bit of a bump up. I think. If I was his agent, I would just focus on the times he was healthy this year and offer that up as reason for some team out there to to pay him a little bit more than the Lakers might be willing to pay him. And then I'm trying to think of other players whose contracts are, I think that's it. So those are the guys. I think all of the vets take haircuts except for McGee. For Luke Walton, I think, so we've already heard that the Cavs might be interested, that the Phoenix Suns might be interested. That was a bit of a Freudian slip, the Phoenix Dungs. I would say it wouldn't surprise me. I think if I had to bet or wager on where Luke ends up next, I think he winds up at Arizona. And where, you know, that's where he went to school. His dad, I apparently was working behind the scenes to try to get him a job as the UCLA head coach, but I don't think that's going to happen. They need to, UCLA has to, like, there's a reason they were already connected to John Calipari. They have to, UCLA, hit this next coaching candidate out of the park. And I don't know if Luke Walton is the sure thing that they're going to be looking for. So I think Luke Walton maybe shows up in Arizona. And then from there, I would say the next likeliest is the Phoenix Suns. I keep on. And then finally, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the third most likely here. But we'll see. I do hope that Luke learns from the mistakes he made as Lakers head coach. There are lessons that he actually does have to learn. And if he does figure those things out, I think he'll wind up being a decent head coach out there somewhere. Last question here before we go to the break. Ike Candib wants to know, what with the front office track record thus far, what's more likely? Lakers make the conference semis or miss the playoffs again next year? Oh, I don't think there's a scenario here where the Lakers miss the playoffs next year. So one thing that I've been trying to find the proper way to phrase is, I think LeBron took it a little lightly how difficult the Western Conference was going to be. I think Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka took it a little lightly how difficult their jobs are going to be. And nobody involved here has the latitude to be able to take these things lightly again. So if one of those entities, whether it's Magic or Pelinka or LeBron, takes it more seriously next year, and I think all three do, then I think the Lakers find themselves back in the playoffs. And you know what? If they don't, then Magic and Pelinka have to be let go immediately. And that's what's going to be really interesting here is that, so we already saw this with Jeannie Buss and Jim Buss, where she fired the meat shield and is now taking hits to her reputation as a result of not having Jim Buss around anymore. When Magic fires Luke Walton, that's going to be one of those meat shields that are gone. And, you know, whoever Magic hires, like he can't then, you know, hire a head coach and then fire that same head coach again, right? So there's going to be fewer people here who are going to be taking accountability. And what that means is Magic is going to take even more criticism than he took this year. And what's crazy is he took a ton of criticism this year. It's been wild to watch that all take place. We'll see, though. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer. It looks like we have three more questions, and I will get you guys out of here to enjoy the rest of your Tuesday afternoon. All right, Groove asks, with players today being stronger, faster, and arguably more skilled, which Lakers championship team do you think could have the most success against today's NBA teams? Any of the Showtime Lakers teams would have been fine. They played a decent pace that I think would allow them to be okay in this era. The one thing that obviously they would have to figure out a way to overcome is the lack of shooting on that team. They would need somebody to step up and hit threes to be able to keep up with the math equation that basketball has become nowadays. I think any of those Shaq and Kobe teams, like you have two top 10 players, right? Two top seven players at dang near the peak of their powers. So I think those teams would have been fine today. I actually think it's a really fascinating matchup between the Robert Horry year of the Lakers. So they had AC Green the first year. They had Robert Horry, I think, was the third year? No. So they had AC Green 1 year, they had Horace Grant 1 year, and they had Robert Horry 1 year as their rotating power forwards in the years that they won titles. And that Robert Horry team was able to space the floor. So if you had Fisher, and you had Kobe, and you had Fox, Horry, and Shaq, that's a very modern lineup that I think would be able to contend against anybody nowadays, even the Warriors. And I don't know what the Warriors would really do against Shaq. It'd be a fun, that's the all-time matchup I really want to watch. Even more probably than the 72 win Bulls against the 73 win Warriors. I just think that Shaq team was pretty well situated to handle even the way that this game is played nowadays. So, and that's really what it comes down to. It's kind of unfortunate that the game has been simplified to the way that it's played right now. But, you know, for what the Lakers would have to do against the Warriors, they would, you know, I would probably have Kobe guarding, Kobe would guard Steph. I would have Derek Fisher chase Klay Thompson all over the court the way he used to chase Ray Allen. I would have Rick Fox try to contend and bother Kevin Durant. And then I would just feed Shaq a bunch and have him foul out the Draymond Greens and the Jordan Bells and those guys. So it'd be a really fun matchup. Maybe as we get into the off season, I'll bring, you know, some of my Warriors fans friends on here to have that discussion, because I think it's an all time. That in my opinion is the most interesting matchup of all time. All right, two more questions. Assess the threat says, hey Anthony, I have another question for you and Pete. If you could, in theory, totally jump ship and stop being a Laker fan and be a fan of another team, but not get any backlash from people for being a bandwagon or anything, like to everyone else, you've just always been a fan of this other team. What team would that be? Thanks for the show. It's part of my bedtime routine. I listen. Wow, I put you to sleep, huh? How about that? I'm kidding. But the team that I would jump ship for. So I read this before I started recording today because I wanted to put a little extra thought into this. And my problem is that, like, so much of my persona, like my personality, the type of person I am, is derived from the teams that I root for. And if I was just not a Laker fan, I don't even know how, like, what kind of a person I would be, if that makes any sense. So you know, I don't know what team I would buy into. I don't know if I could just be like a Warriors fan, right, and just hop on that bandwagon. I respect the hell out of the way that they play the game and how talented they are, but I don't know if I could just be a Warrior fan. I don't know, you know, the teams that I like out there, the Bucks, the Nuggets, teams like that. I really enjoy watching them play, but I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to find it in myself to just be another team's fan, unless I was like, if I just started out as one of those fans, I'd be a completely different person, right? I mean, and the other thing too is that, like, being a Laker fan is so central to the human experience for me to this point, right? Like, my parents, there's video of me when I was like 4 or 5 years old saying, like, go Lakers, right? And then go Dodgers, because I couldn't say Dodgers. So that would just not happen, right? And I just don't see that really working out. But it's an interesting question. Maybe I put too much thought into it. It's possible. It's weird to think of me thinking too much. All right, last question here comes from Hooters. Hey, Anthony, What can the Lakers learn from the Clippers? They seem to be beating us in the race for the top free agents. Thanks. So I think this is a little overblown. The Clippers hired Lee Jenkins, and Lee Jenkins has relationships with all of the writers, everybody who covers the league right now, right? And if Lee Jenkins is out there talking about how great the Clippers are to all of his friends who still cover the league, then that's going to be the central narrative to the Clippers. But I kind of want to see what it is that they're talking about before I just take that narrative and run with it. And the other thing here, too, with the Lakers is they're the opposite of that. They don't have very many allies in the media. They haven't handled that aspect of controlling the narrative and controlling the media very well. So you have two ends of the spectrum. Now, in this respect, yeah, the Clippers are obviously better than the Lakers in just this aspect of running an organization. But I just want to see the Clippers walk away with Kawhi Leonard before I just grant that he's going to be a Clipper. I want to see the Clippers actually pull this off, and I want to see Steve Ballmer learn what it takes to own and run a good team before I just believe that he is capable of doing that kind of thing. I want to see Jeannie Buss prove that maybe she can't do that, right? And so once we have a little bit more information and we are able to gather all of that, then fine. Yeah, we can reassess the situation of basketball, professional basketball in Los Angeles. But for right now, I actually got to see these things take place before I just believe that the Clippers are ahead of the Lakers in this respect. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you very much to everybody who sent your questions in. This was a lot of fun answering them. Keep them coming, because as we get closer to the offseason and Pete and I start running thin on things to actually talk about, we rely heavily on this stuff, not just in terms of the algorithm on iTunes, but also in terms of the types of conversation that Pete and I have. So thank you very much for sending in those questions. Keep them coming, and we will talk to you again soon.